This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this a Tuesday, just 3 days before the show. We start off by saying good evening to Michael.
It's called Buttercloth.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in my Marinac. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
Is it too long to make a run, you think?
What?
You think that...
No. That's that Don. That's making a run. Stench in Mamaroneck. Real quick, Andrew, if you're available, where do you see Stench in Mamaroneck? What, I know you can't give it away fully, but if you were to predict the kind of seeding Stench gets.
Top 4 seed.
There you go. No hesitation. Wow. What about Buttercloth for Michael?
I'd have to really analyze the Michael region, but instinctively, I'd say maybe a 5.
It's called Buttercloth. No way. No way. Well, we're talking in the teens.
No, are you crazy? You think way too highly of yourself. If you think Buttercloth isn't a top 6 seed.
Well, Buttercloth is actually a sponsor.
It doesn't matter.
Shirt,
it's the way you're yelling. It's the emphasis on the B in Buttercloth. RJ, one more time.
It's called Buttercloth.
Don, you agree, right?
Yes, it's going to be higher. I think in 7-8.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of time left between now and March, but that's special stuff. All right, Adam Schefter on NFL Countdown talking about some new NFL regulations in place for COVID starting on Thanksgiving.
Basically, one of the main things of this, which goes into effect for Thursday's Thanksgiving games, is players who are on the sideline and not playing the game and don't have their helmet on, they are now going to be required to wear masks on the sideline. We're headed into a different time of the year, okay? And they're worried about spread, and the league is going to do everything it can to try to contain it and to make sure that there are no cancellations.
Truly understand that that's going to be just a little tough. When guys come off the field huffing and puffing and breathing and trying to catch their air, and you're saying basically you come off the field, you got to immediately put a mask on, that's going to be a little tougher for players to adhere to. I really think so.
Yeah, but if you keep your helmet on, you don't have to. That, from what I understand.
Which makes no sense.
We didn't ask Sam, and I did not say. Did Sam go with the Jets to L.A.?
I didn't see him on the sideline.
Yeah, I didn't see him either. That doesn't mean he didn't go. But when you watch a football game, guys, you see a lot of people that you wonder, are these injured players? Or are these like, they don't look like coaches, right? They don't have headsets on. I think they could do a better job of limiting the number of people on the sidelines. And if a player, if there's a hurt player that wants to travel, I don't think he should be allowed. Like, why would you have excess bodies in there? Just get, you know, travel light, right?
The one
Unless
thing
you're
that
gonna
you,
play.
You would find out, though, and I thought that this would be a problem, I don't think it's spreading amongst the players on the field. Because the two Ravens, they played on Sunday, and there doesn't seem to be a problem with any. Who did they play? They played the.
Who, the Ravens?
Yeah.
They played the
Titans. They played the Titans, and there doesn't seem to be any issues with the Titans. So those guys were part of the action.
It just seems to me, I appreciate them doing this. I'm all for it. It feels like this is more about the message they're sending.
It has to be. Because
it doesn't make sense.
Have you seen a coach want to communicate to a referee, shouting at a referee, that he'll take his mask off while he's doing it?
Right. And if everyone's being careful, I mean, how much are they worried? I guess you never know. But these teammates are together so much when they're not on the field. Then I'll tell you what, this COVID thing is incredibly scary. Ebro's brother is dealing with a real serious bout of this thing, man.
He's had it for a while, right?
Yeah, he has MS. And so he just can't seem to kick it. It's It's super scary.
But when you see, I was watching, there's a show on at 1 o'clock, What You Need to Know on Channel 7. I apologize, not knowing the exact. It's right after the local news. And it kind of just updates you nationally on everything that's going on. And Dr. Jen Aston is always there to start the show. Mm-hmm. And she was giving all the ways in which you can catch it. And it talked about if you're within somebody less than 6 feet, in a totality of 15 minutes. So I guess just passing someone, even without a mask, doesn't necessarily mean that you have it. It just it takes a little time. Now, if that
coughs
or something, that's a completely different story.
It also seems like what's happening, it's people who are asymptomatic, have no idea they have it, spending time in close quarters with someone else.
Right. So if you make those players without a helmet wear a mask, because sometimes you can be, if you're not playing in the game and you're standing next to them, you could stand next to them for a half hour.
So you're right. In that sense, it does make sense. Now, by the way, this all makes sense because the Ravens have serious COVID problems right now. The Ravens have now had 5 players and 4 staffers test positive this week, according to Adam Schefter. Of course, the game Thursday night, it's the Thanksgiving night game against the Steelers. Of course, it's still currently on, but practice was canceled earlier today.
And not having a replacement for that Thursday night game should not be a reason it's played, right?
It should not be.
But you know that might have something to do with it. And that's
there'd be something terrible that have to happen for them to cancel that.
Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson among Hall of Fame semifinalists.
Very interesting list.
Also Jared Allen. And 4 players who have previously been eligible but have not made the semifinals are Eric Allen, Willie Anderson, Cornelius Bennett, and Rodney Harrison. Am I a bad guy because I kind of enjoy Rodney Harrison getting left out?
I can understand that.
Find him
then
so
you enjoy
annoying.
The Sunday night pregame show because they're kind of leaving him out of that, too.
Are they?
I mean, they pop him up. Well, like, he's not even on the set. Dungy and Sims are.
Yeah, but no. Dungy and who?
Chris Sims.
Oh, Chris Sims. I need Dungy off and Rodney gone.
Why do you want Dungy off? Everybody loves Dungy.
It's like the rambling babblings of a lunatic.
Wait, a lunatic? What is wrong with you?
Lunatic. Not a fan.
There's a lot of things that have been said about Tony Dungy. Lunatic's not one of them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the truth. He has no broadcasting chops. He's just not special. He won one Super Bowl. Okay? Yeah. He's cool. Tony Dungy's cool.
I think he brings a lot to the table in the studio and gives you kind of a unique perspective. But I did not like him as an analyst. I forget what game it was that
Notre Dame Clemson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That left me a little flat, but I think he's very good in the studio.
He's fine. Does nothing special for him.
Oh, my God. This is a broadside swipe at a Hall of Famer.
Michael, it's okay to not like certain people, but the ravings of a lunatic.
The rantings.
Or whatever. You threw a lunatic.
The guy who said it is the rantings of a lunatic.
I'm not
a guy who's going to host Alone on Friday. We'll ruin this franchise.
Maybe if I get a Dungy phoner, we'd really pick things up.
I just never heard anyone. You might be the first person on God's green earth to describe Tony Dungy as a lunatic.
You think I'm the first?
Yes.
Yeah, I really believe you're the first.
Yes. I mean, you could criticize him all you want. Boring. I don't get it. Only one Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm fine. Lunatic?
It's like saying Gandhi was a lunatic.
There's an article on Deadspin from 2014.
Right.
In which Tony Dungy was asked on Twitter, do you think the Jets are possibly being haunted by the ghosts of the dogs that Michael Vick murdered? And Tony Dungy responded, no, I don't.
What's the problem?
Why did he answer that?
I don't know, because he's a nice guy. I can't imagine him ripping into somebody. He answered it. But if you had answered,
the guy goes to church every Sunday. He's a God-fearing man. I'm taken aback.
By the way, you know what? I don't agree. Someone's religious, yeah, does that mean we have to like everything
No. But you can't call him a racist.
I didn't say bad guy. Didn't say bad guy.
You said he's a lunatic. It'd be better if you said he was a bad guy.
No, yeah. Lunatic's not bad.
Okay.
You think lunatic has a negative connotation?
No, positive. Well, if you're a lunatic, then it's a good thing.
Some of my favorite people are considered to be lunatics.
I get it. You like lunatics, but that doesn't mean that they're good.
Now, better question about this Deadspin story.
You're going back a story 7 years ago.
I got a point I'm getting to here. Don, why did Tony Dungy answer the question, "No, I don't"? The better question is, why did Ballard tweet him this question?
Yeah, that's...
That's a fact. Ballard
misunderstood.
Well, because he's not bright. Is Ballard coming over for Thanksgiving?
No, it was discussed, but I never got...
You don't have a big enough turkey.
You know what? You just never stop. It's never enough. You're always attacking and attacking and attacking.
Now, if you want to say that I'm a lunatic, I embrace that. But yeah. Tony Dungy, I can't
Tony
have
Dungy
it done. I don't think you
been
can
accused
either.
Of being a lunatic.
I got to be honest. I'm going to get back to you guys. I don't actually remember why I dislike Tony Dungy anymore. But I'm asking Ballard. Why do I?
You're asking what is Ballard has
a... He'll remember.
Has
we talked about it.
On why you don't like people?
Well, no, we talk a lot. And I know he dislikes Dungy. Listen, dislike's a bad word. That implies that it's like, a moral judgment. I don't enjoy his football analysis.
Right, that's fine. That's fair.
Is that it?
But lunatic?
Lunatic, you're making it to be such...
You didn't even know Chris Sims was on the show, so you're not watching Tony Dungy a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Chris
now
Sims,
my
that's that guy's got it going on.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Sims. I think Ballard's giving me some... he's jogging my memory. By the way,
that's
I bet if you
jogging
were to look...
He does.
By the way... Did you just say that jogging my memory is the only jogging Ballard does?
Yes.
Wow. Because that was actually good, Michael. I'm a Ballard guy, but I'm also a big fan of humor. And that was funny.
I enjoyed it. Let's move on.
By the way, there was the time he was critical about Michael Sam being drafted to the NFL and then went back on it and clarified his comments.
Gotcha.
Don't just blow by that. That happened.
I know, but...
First gay guy, openly gay guy to get drafted. He's like, oh, I don't know about that. And then he goes, it would be a distraction. So I remembered there was a reason. There was a reason something stuck in my craw. I didn't make it up.
It obviously didn't stick too well.
Well, I forgot. But Don, the point is, I'm MJ Rosenberg's son. I don't always remember why I don't like someone, but I remember that I don't like them.
Okay, that's fair.
Listen, I grew up with a father who woke up every day and read the New York Times obituary to see if his old boss had died. Okay? This is the kind of vindictiveness I was raised with.
Yeah, my dad hated with the best of them as well. He just despised Joe Namath.
Joe Namath! We love him.
Hated Reggie Jackson. Hated
what did
Ali
Reggie
Sherman.
Do?
Hated Ali Sherman.
By the way, oh my God, what an episode of a LaGreca show this is. You guys breaking down the top 5 or 10 people your dad hated? Write it down, Don.
He also was a big fan. If he did this show, you know how I say I'm good?
Mm-hmm.
He loved dropping It Couldn't Happen to a Nicer Guy.
Oh, boy, he's lying.
He loved that.
So you say, did you hear they killed Osama bin Laden?
Well, that would be a little too
I understand, serious. But I'm trying to use... I didn't want to curse anyone else.
Like with all of Joe's knee injuries, as they're dragging Joe off, couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Now you and Joe are tight.
I remember because when I was really young, Reggie's first year was 77, right? Father hated Reggie Jackson with a passion. And I was like 9. So I was a Met fan, and I didn't like the Yankees, but I watched baseball all the time. And I remember Reggie got hit with a pitch and had to come out of the game, hurt his wrist. And I thought it was a big deal. It's Reggie Jackson getting taken out of the game. My dad was in the kitchen. I run to the kitchen. I was like, Dad, look. Come look at the TV. He goes in. And I said, look, Reggie. They're taking Reggie off the field. I thought, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Went back to the kitchen.
Wow.
That was his big drop.
If your dad had drops, one would be, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. All right, Cowboys strength coach Marcus Paul was rushed to the hospital. He had a medical emergency at the facility where he was treated by Cowboys personnel, but then was rushed to the hospital. There was an update that he was undergoing further medical tests. He's 54 years old. We don't have any more information, but they canceled practice, so seems like a scary situation there in Dallas.
I know a lot of people in the NFL really shook about this, and he spent a lot of time with the Giants, beloved there. So Mara and Tish have sent out best wishes, so obviously I did not know or do not know the man, but boy, a lot of people love him.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Miami Heat continue to stay good or get better. They reached their extension with Bam Adebayo. 5-year max extension. Again, that max extension now. I can't believe Bam's in that class too. He's in the Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum class?
I guess so.
And I'm bringing Andrew, knows more than me about basketball. Andrew, would you have thought Bam Adebayo, like, I understand if you get the max, you get the max, but do you think of him in that category?
So he's not, to me, he's not Donovan Mitchell or Jason Tatum, but I'm also not surprised that he would get the max. If you're an NBA player of like a certain echelon, which he that's just how it is. You get it.
Because if you don't get it, then you don't sign and you get it from somewhere else.
DeMarcus Cousins is going to give it another go. He signs a 1-year deal with the Rockets. Although this year, who knows who else the Rockets will sign. We don't know what they're going to look like.
I think it's a great play.
But yeah, you might as well, right?
Yeah,
4-time All-Star.
He's a great player, man.
Of course, he's had a lot of serious injuries over the last 3 years. Missed all of last season with an ACL after he signed with the Lakers. So no one really knows, but what if you end up getting a run out of him where he stays healthy for 2 years and he plays like some version of DeMarcus Cousins?
Well, that's why it's a great play.
Might as well give it a shot.
2 years,
and by the way, hold on.
Somebody
real
got
quick.
To sign him for that second year.
Wait, say it again, Don?
He signed a 1-year deal in Houston.
Right.
So if it ends up being, get a couple of good years, that second year is probably going to be with somebody else for big money, right?
Well, it depends. The thing is, he's only going to get limited money now. I mean, there's no chance. DeMarcus Cousins is never getting a huge deal again. Now, Michael, you've been very critical of the Knicks. Is he someone that you would have taken a flyer on a 1-year deal that could maybe improve the team?
I don't know if I would have done that because they have enough up front. They need help.
So you're just really thinking about a point guard.
Yeah. By the way, Minnesota at Wisconsin, Big Ten football.
Let me guess. Cancel.
No go. Yep.
Well, speaking
of Minnesota, have like a bunch of guys out last week. Weren't they the Friday game? Wasn't it Minnesota Purdue? And there was like 20 guys out for between the two teams because of COVID.
Maybe all these COVID cancellations is a message about just canceling college football permanently. Anyone ever thought about it?
So many people are saying that, you know, like the UConn women's basketball, they're out of the tournament this weekend. They're not going to be able to play until December 10th. The NCAA rule for basketball is if there's one positive on the on a team, they have to shut the team down for 2 weeks, and that means you can't play again until 3 weeks because you can't come on a court for 2 weeks. How are they going to get a season in? And when Rick Pitino said, why don't we just start the season in February?
Right.
When hopefully the vaccine will be in play and then call it May Madness. What's the difference?
I agree. What does it hurt? I guess you'd be going up against NBA playoffs.
But this is awful. I mean, just the rule almost dictates that you cannot complete a season. Teams with one positive, the whole team is shut down for 2 weeks.
Well, when would the NBA playoffs start with this new?
Probably in April again.
We said it. We had the calendar.
Yeah, April.
It was, yeah.
So I guess that's probably why they wouldn't do it. Again, everything's motivated by money. They wouldn't want to have May Madness.
TBS cares.
Well, they wouldn't want to have May Madness during NBA playoffs because their audience would get cut like big time.
Well, their audience is going to be cut if they can't play.
I agree. I think that you do the right thing and just say, listen, we got to, if we want to finish our season, we're just going to have to take the ratings hit and the money hit, because how is this possibly going to work, Michael?
I don't know.
You're going to have teams go into the tournament with like three games? Unless you, I know they're going to probably expand the tournament anyway, but you might have, there could be a possibility, depending on how it breaks, that a team won't play a game. So, yeah, but I would think that by February, because the way they're talking about the vaccine, that we're going to, that you're going to see first responders, frontline workers get it maybe before the year is out. So that by the time we get to February, even though the vaccine will not get to us, there could be enough people that have it that can at least flatten the curve and make this more manageable for us to move on. But if you're going to try to do it now, what are you doing?
You know what? People in the NCAA have shouted down Patino. They don't agree. So, again, just the math. What's the likelihood of somebody on a traveling party of 15 kids, five coaches, managers, trainers, getting COVID again? So they're betting, let's start our season now because kids go home for Thanksgiving. Most colleges are saying go home and don't come back until January. Usually you come back after Thanksgiving, then there's a Christmas break. So they're saying that the kids will be on campus. No other kids will be there. Well, they're not going to go out?
Well,
they're not going to go to bars? Well, there's not going to be any human beings involved? They're not in a bubble.
Well, listen,
the kids.
There's a ton of college basketball, COVID-19 cancellations and postponements already happening. It's just...
And there's things working for them. Like, I guess their argument would be, listen, it's happening in college football because you've got rosters of like 75-100 people. Because they've had, you know, from a practice squad standpoint, there's so many more people. Basketball's got a limited amount, but they're playing inside.
Hey, speaking of COVID in college, you guys want an update on Florida State and Clemson?
Yeah, that's getting interesting.
Yeah.
Which head coach you want to hear from first, FSU or Clemson?
They're both such upstanding guys. I'll take FSU.
All right, I'm told we should hear from Norvell at Florida State first. Let's hear from Mike Norvell.
The protocols and procedures that are in place to ensure the health and well-being of our student-athletes is something that we don't take lightly. There was, you know, every player, every coach, I mean, there was an excitement about, you know, the week that had led up to the game and the opportunity that was in front of us. And, you know, we're competitors. And that is the reason why, you know, we have things set up the way that they're set up. You know, football coaches are not doctors. And some of us might think that that we are, but there's a reason why those advisors are able to make the decisions from the information that is provided. We made the decision that was in the best interest of our student athletes and their well-being. We were excited about the opportunity. We are a young team that needs every rep that we can get. You know, I'm not concerned about, you know, what any other coach, you know, says or thinks.
Now, I'm sure Dabo Swinney heard this and said something rational. Let's hear from Dabo.
You know, listen, I'm not really worried much about what they say down there in Tallahassee, that's for sure. You know, I've been in this league 18 years. I've been the head coach here 12. All right. You know, they've had three head coaches in 4 years. So decisions that they make, you know, I'm not going to worry about advice from Tallahassee.
Oh, that makes sense. Because let me tell you, I mean, you know what, Don, being the head coach, a successful head coach in college football, is there? It for him to look down his nose at what's happening in Florida State, it would be amazing for him to have a conversation about what I would think about him being the head coach at Clemson.
Or I
love the way he says Tallahassee.
Why do I hate this sport so much?
I hate
college football. I detest it. Everything about it. The annoying coaches, the guards who walk with them after games because they're the highest paid people in the state. The games never end. I love NFL games. I wish an NFL, I wish a Washington game would take as long as their games. They feel like they're 6 hours long. Let's be honest. The play is not good. It's markedly worse than the pro game. Like the college game in basketball, you say, well, the NBA, it's isolation. I love the college game because of the effort and how fast it is. College football is just worse than NFL football, period. You cannot watch both games and tell me that they're the same game. It is a much worse game, and the people involved are greedy morons. Cancel the game forever, and your overtime sucks.
It is so crazy. Am I wrong?
Was anything I just said wrong?
I mean, listen, I've watched more college football this year than I have since I was like a teenager.
Is it like a self-torture ritual?
No, it just, listen, we were deprived of sports for so long, and it's my love of football that keeps me wanting to watch, because I really love football. But Peter's right. I mean, it's reprehensible sometimes. And the overtime thing is a joke. As exciting as the game ended up being, I was watching that Rutgers-Michigan game that ended like after midnight. It was like a four-hour-plus game, you know, going into overtime with the, you know, starting at the 25.
Heart attack.
You know, it's ridiculous. But when you,
I'm actually
when you
angry.
When you listen to Sweeney talk, it's like, oh, we're recruiting doctors. Sorry, where did you go to medical school? You know, how much do you know about? Have you won a national championship? Like what? Because you have a winning program and you've got a quarterback that's going to go first overall?
And that
makes you some sort of an expert on when it's right or wrong to play during COVID?
It's just the fact that here's my issues with college football, besides all the political stuff of I just culturally hate it, and there is like a southern plantation feel to it of black athletes and white head coaches that I'm incredibly uncomfortable with and hate it down the board. The imagery of the sheriffs, all of it makes me nauseous. However, and that doesn't mean that if I'm completely bored on a Saturday afternoon, I'm not a human, I don't throw on a football game when I see it. Of course I do. I did it this Saturday when I was stuck in my hotel room. I get it. But Don, from the very basic of it, right, an individual game, you guys don't have overtime right? Deciding a winner isn't done right. The one-foot rule for a reception, all of the rules like that make no sense. They don't prepare you for the real game. So you go from the individual game where they can't get overtime right to the ranking and bowl system where they can't get a winner of the season right. Nothing about it makes sense. The NFL game is just so much better.
But, and also, too, I don't know how much you're watching, Michael. Take a look at the stands. Like, obviously, they're not full because they're not allowed to be. There's a lot of fans. I have not watched one game where it's been like completely empty.
It doesn't
The number they gave on ND was frightfully low. There was way more people in the stands that night when they beat Clemson.
Now, I give
way
like more. The Rutgers
for
game
sure.
Because it's Jersey, right? So the Rutgers game completely empty. But, you know, you're playing in some places there where they still think this virus is a hoax. Let's be honest. Right?
Ugh. You know what?
I saw a graph that said, you know, at the hotspot states, you know, if you have a gathering of 20 for Thanksgiving, the likelihood of you getting COVID in North Dakota, 100%.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's based on the sheer numbers, because
yeah, everybody in North Dakota seems to be having it.
Right. Well, the population of the state is so small, and so many people
have
it. And
she refuses to say about masks, the governor, so.
It's ridiculous. It reminds me of college football. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
Wow. He assails the character of Tony Dungy and then college football. I don't know what's next. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's take some phone calls.
No, I don't want to, Michael.
I do.
Well, I see tweets that say you're out of your mind. College football 100 times better than pro. Multiple people saying that. If you think college football is better than pro football, you don't know what a good football player looks like.
Well, let
you don't.
Them have their say. Let them call in and talk to you. Other people attack you.
I know you do.
Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.